Our first guest of Season 2 of the World Rock Countdown was discovered on our 13th installment of the show in 2017. He recently finished a tour with the Glorious Sons in Canada and is surely going to completely dismantle 2018. With 600,000 followers on Spotify and growing, Grandson is an up-and-coming artist who's got what it takes to make a real splash in the music industry. His music is real, speaks truth, and holds nothing back. Here's my interview with Grandson on the World Rock Countdown. Reading your life story and discovering that you were just like every other person trying to pursue a post-secondary education, not really wanting to follow through with your schooling. I mean, your heart was always in music, wasn't it?
To some capacity. I didn't really have the confidence at first, necessarily. I wasn't really sure what I had to say or how I wanted to, how that interest in music was going to manifest. It had begun taking a couple of different routes. I really started predominantly, I picked up a guitar and was kind of playing with an acoustic guitar early on in high school, but really fell in love with hip hop. I was just smoking pot every day and rapping and freestyling and whatever at parties. And then when I got to university, I wasn't really sure maybe I was going to, I got accepted to McGill in their education program. And I was thinking maybe I was going to be a teacher. I was thinking maybe music education, but I have no formal background in music education, so I didn't know how the hell that was going to work. And I started singing, and I was doing like an a cappella group. I started DJing in nightclubs, doing like throwback hip hop for like 5 hours every Monday night. So I was diversifying my skill set without necessarily knowing exactly how it was going to work. And that would be a thing that I would recommend to kids. Whenever people ask me, you know, what should I do or should I go to school or not? It's like, if you're passionate, school can be a really great place to network, to learn. I certainly have no regrets for my time spent there. But I was very fortunate to recognize early on in my own personal life that what I was going to leave that school with was going to be the extracurriculars, was going to be what I spent my free time doing. I recognized pretty early on that a life of academia wasn't for me. So, long story short, to answer your question, yeah, I knew in some way that I was gonna do music. I wasn't sure whether it was gonna be in radio or working for a label, but it wasn't until I actually made the move to Los Angeles and really committed myself to fleshing out this identity for myself as an artist that that I was really all in on being a songwriter professionally.
Now, it must have taken some guts to honestly say, I'm going to quit school, pursue music. What ultimately led to that decision? Is there a specific moment that you remember?
Well, what happened was I was like rapping, and I got convinced by a couple friends to put a video online that has since been taken down. So I got a bunch of my friends together. We all dressed like idiots, and we were on the roof of the apartment that I was living in Montreal, and we did like a one take video of me kind of singing along to a song that I had done with all my friends surrounded by me in the background. And we put the video out. We maybe got like 1,000 views in a couple days. A friend of mine at the time had been interning at a music blog, and he got that video on that blog. The one day that it was on there, there was this A&R from like a management publishing company that had been on that website for the first time. And in this very serendipitous way, he ends up stumbling on the video and reaches out to me and sends me an email saying, we just saw this. We thought it's cool. You know, do you want to come spend some time in Los Angeles? And I was convinced that it was fake. You know, I didn't believe any. I was just waiting for him to ask for my credit card information or something. But they bought me a plane ticket. I was only supposed to be there for 1 week. And I came out, I was writing for other artists. I was kind of doing a little bit of my own stuff. And 1 week became 2 weeks. Then I deferred for a semester from school to just kind of see it through. And that was kind of it. I never came back. And that was in 2014. So I moved here permanently in March of 2014. And it wasn't until December of 2015 that I really began to start getting back to my roots in rock and roll and being interested in what would become Grandson. That took a long time for me to get there. But it was that moment, it was that email from someone in music kind of co-signing this, you know, stoned college hippies, lofty kind of hobby that really elevated what I was doing and made me feel like I did within me existed the capacity to make real change and to inspire people.
And in previous interviews, you mentioned the book called The Wisdom of Insecurity by Alan Watts. How important is that book to you?
That's a really good one for me. There's a lot. There's The Phantom Tollbooth by I think it's by Norton Juster. There's been a couple books that have like helped ground the work that I'm doing and just kind of stay present. And that Alan Watts book is a good one for sure. I definitely recommend it.
Music industry oversaturated these days. It's very hard for people to pay attention to literally anything. That almost goes for everything, right? So what is Grandson doing different, and what are some of the challenges that stand in front of you?
I mean, I think it's kind of good and bad. The dissemination of music technology, the accessibility of, you know, when my dad was making music however many decades ago, a huge part of his, like, everything was around getting studio time. It was so expensive and so inaccessible that the gatekeepers to get in and the ability to get funding to even get your music in a demo stage really would dissuade a lot of people. Whereas now it's pretty easy to get your music out there. So in some ways that empowers and enables us as creatives. But then obviously, as you said, there's a certain oversaturation that's occurred. So whenever people ask me, you know, what should they do or anything, I always say that unless you can answer the why of like why you're doing what you're doing and how you're going to do what you're doing different, as you mentioned, if you can't answer that, then just keep writing and wait. You know, there's no rush, but really take the time to flesh out what you're going to do and what you're going to say. So I spent a lot of time doing that. And originally I felt that my kind of unorthodox introduction into rock and roll, coming from a background of hip hop, I used to think that that was really hindering me and that would really limit my ability to speak a particular language. Whereas now I kind of embrace it and it's kind of become one of the things I'm most proud differentiates Grandson from a lot of other alternative rock. I think that I've made a very deliberate choice to approach each song as a brand new opportunity to experiment with the synthesis, the combining of different subgenres of rock and roll that I'm interested in with modern day production that I was doing and that I listened to in hip hop and electronic music. So I think from a creative standpoint, I've begun to carve my own little pocket of where those two genres kind of meet. And then I also have an interest in expanding over the course of this year and beyond into some interdisciplinary ways to continue to root what I write about and what I stand for in this exact moment in time. It's very important to me that the language that I use, the subjects that I tackle are all very much timely, that cover things like climate change, income inequality, opioid use, I want to make sure that what it is that I'm speaking about and who it is that I'm speaking to is very much rooted here in 2018. So that's been another thing that I try to find new ways to embrace that'll really make it a little bit different than the rock and roll that our parents listen to necessarily.
Bloodwater, your latest track. Can you tell me what the story is behind that?
Yeah, so Bloodwater kind of exists. It was kind of this like revenge porn that I had in my head where I feel that there's a lot of different places this happens. I think climate change is one in particular that stands out, but there's a lot of different ways that people have related to this song and have interpreted it. But basically, I feel that a lot of the decision-making when it comes to policy, when it comes to the people in charge making decisions with long-lasting repercussions, a lot of the people that are making those decisions are so far removed from a socio-economic perspective from the people that are going to face the consequences of those sorts of decisions. When you look at something like Trump pulling out of the Paris Agreement, when you look at people claiming, well, you know, it's still snowing in New York, so I don't see any climate change around here. When you look at places like Venezuela, when you look at certain places in Africa that have been decimated by droughts and how this affects their ability to live, you traditionally don't see rich old white men feeling the repercussions of their actions. So this song was basically, I wanted to write from the manifestation of that karma. So be it, you know, it could be anything. It could be the people's uprising. It could be a natural disaster. Whatever it is, I wanted to write from that moment that those consequences inevitably catch up to those people who have this coming. That was sort of, it was a very kind of Quentin Tarantino inspired like moment of revenge of these people begging for forgiveness that's not coming for them. What are you going to do when it's your son and daughter, when the blood is on your hands? That was kind of where I wrote it from.
Your music's really unique. Your dream is actually to open up for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, right?
Yeah, among other bands, for sure. That was one of the big ones. A lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Rage, Audio Slave. That was my shit when I was in high school. Yeah, I would love to open for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I'm going to.
Oh, I know you are. What's your what's your favorite record from them?
Probably. My favorite album is probably Blood Sugar Sex Magik. But Stadium Arcadium also came at like a very, like I latched onto that album so hard. I love some of their stuff that's more poetic. I love Under the Bridge just because it's so raw. It's so transparent. You really feel like the writer of that song was really giving you a window into a place in their life, a point in their life, a time in their life. So I'm always fascinated by when I perceive an artist to be at their most vulnerable. I always latch onto that. And so, I'm a huge fan of theirs.
How often do you bother your manager to get you on one of those bills with them?
You know what? It's a complicated game. I try and focus on what I can control. And I firmly believe that within me exists the capacity to do all that. I learned pretty early on that it's not very good for anybody for me to spend my time sitting around waiting for other people to get me where I'm trying to go. So as much as, I do bust my manager's balls to make this or that happen, but it's not going to be him. Nobody can make anything happen for me. What I need to do is just keep writing songs, keep getting myself out there, you know, embracing the love that the country I grew up in, Canada, has shown me so far. You know, I'd love to open for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I'm really, really happy to open for the Glorious Sons too. So I try and just ground myself in that present moment and hold myself accountable to build it. And sure enough, as I embrace that philosophy, it's happening. I don't need to force it because people are turning around and embracing this project. And I've only put out 6 songs and we're already, you know, we have 600,000 people every month listening on Spotify. So it's been a really cool process to let go, to really believe in myself and believe that if I just continue to focus and build it, they will come. And then watching the physical manifestation has been really extraordinary.
Where did the name Grandson come from? Like, what other names did you actually have instead of Grandson? How'd you come?
That's funny. No, people have asked me like, where Grandson came from. No one's really asking any alternatives. It came at a time like I really wanted to do something that felt nostalgic. That felt like people. I wanted to feel like if I had seen the name, that I would have felt like I already knew it, even though I hadn't heard it. I wanted people to feel a certain familiarity. And I needed it to be familiar in my own personal life. So I was looking at names of like streets around where I had grown up and the neighborhood I was from. I wasn't really sure exactly how I was going to tie it all together. But I had just gotten back from, I went to my grandfather's funeral in 2015. And when I came back to Los Angeles from that, I really started putting this project into motion, and it was actually my manager, Amit, who emailed me, and I still have the email because he didn't believe the story. He had forgotten, but he was the one. He claimed that he had a dream where he was side stage, and people were chanting Grandson, and he sent me an email being like, "What about that?" And I was like, "All right, cool, let's do it." Because I had been so obsessively trying to control, I felt like everything had to be so deliberate that I was really interested in making this project a combination of very deliberate thought out moves and just going with your heart and going with your gut and going with what feels right. So to get something like that, like a name like that, just kind of stumble on it, for some reason, I didn't want to overthink it. I wanted to just jump on it, and we did. That was that.
And what does 2018 hold for Grandson?
Oh, man. It's exciting. I really have no fucking idea. We're going to be performing a lot for as many people as we possibly can. I can't wait to come back to Canada. I can't wait to come back to London. That was one of my favorite shows I'd ever done. We're going to get some new music out, and it's going to be insane. Like, the new stuff that I've been working on, I think it's going to really, really, really inspire a lot of people that haven't heard of this project and people that have already bought in. There's, like, a whole bunch of new music that I can't wait to put out. And, expanding into certain other spaces. I want to do some more long-form writing. That's been a thing that I'm interested in, as well as some short form kind of editorial stuff. Just sort of expansion, and further defining this identity and embracing this identity from a creative standpoint, and some sweet t-shirts. That too.
Oh yeah. We all love sweet t-shirts. How about some collaborations? Like, have you ever thought about who you would like to collaborate with?
Yeah, I would. That's a thing that I've been thinking about. I definitely would love to contribute in different spaces. I want to return to my roots into hip hop, combined with, you know, politically charged music like Run the Jewels would be a really cool collaboration. I'd love to do some stuff leaning in the electronic space with people like Skrillex or like Gray. And Yeah, there's a couple of different people on the wish list, so we'll just have to wait and see.
You know, watch you guys cover Praise You by, is it Fatboy Slim with Glorious Sons on stage? I could see that collaboration happening. Like, that, some type of song like that together would be really awesome.
Yeah, that was a song they had been doing on tour once in a while, and I think it was just the end of the tour. I think Brett must have been drinking a bit. But he felt like bringing me on stage. I had never sung that song before. I had knew the song. Didn't really know the lyrics that well. I kind of went into his ear and said, what do you want me to do up here? And he just, it was a really beautiful moment. Those guys were super, super accommodating and really cool. And I can't wait to continue to work with them in the future because they're just going to, they're blowing up for sure.
That concludes our interview with Grandson right here on the World Rock Countdown. Be sure to head on over to his website, grandsonmusic.com, and follow him on Spotify.